Centuries of Sound is funded entirely by my backers on Patreon. Join them for $5 per month or local equivalent at patreon.com/centuriesofsound and get a host of bonus content.
My lord and gentlemen,
Centuries of Sound.
Say, Mom and me decided that if we wanted to be right in style, we'd better get one of these here Hail Columbia Happy Land talking machines.
Welcome to Centuries of Sound, the show where we take a deep dive into original recordings from a particular year in history. My name is James Errington, and I also run the website centuriesofsound.com, where I'm making mixes for every year of recorded sound. So if you like what you hear today, then please come along and check those out. I've just put out a mix for 1927, one of the greatest years in the history of recorded music, and no, I'm not joking about that. Anyway, this time we're going all the way back to 1918, the final year of the First World War and the second year of the jazz era. You've just heard Earl Fuller's Rector Novelty Orchestra with Russian Rag, a composition based on the opening chord progression of Rachmaninoff's Prelude in C-sharp minor, which became one of the earliest jazz standards. We'll be hearing a bit more from Earl Fuller and his band a little later. 1918 is the second year of the Jazz Age, as you may remember from last time. The original Dixieland Jazz Band were the first jazz act to be recorded, a group of mostly Italian-Americans from New Orleans. Here they are again in 1918 with At the Jazz Band Ball, a piece which will be memorably covered by Bix Beiderbecke in just under a decade's time.
¶¶
That was the original Dixieland Jazz Band with At the Jazz Band Ball. The jazz explosion of 1917 was clearly unsustainable, especially as it consisted largely of a set of pros imitating the life out of the original Dixieland Jazz Band without any real understanding of what they were starting. In 1918, jazz is still around, but the heat's been let out a little. Seasoned musicians are starting to return to what they know, which is, you know, light dance music, which had always paid their wages. This will be a theme for the next few years, jazz being swallowed up into the more rigid, un-blue world of professional dance bands. But then, blues is going to come along in 1920, and none of that will matter. The exception to all of this is from two bands. Of course, one of these is the original Dixieland Jazz Band, and they're still going strong, although they would lose their original piano player to the Spanish flu in this year. In even more of an imperial phase, however, are their erstwhile rivals, variously known as the Novelty Orchestra and the Celebrated Society Orchestra and Earl Fuller's Combination 7, but captured here as Earl Fuller's Rector Novelty Orchestra. Where the original Dixieland Jazz Band are raucous and comic, Earl Fuller's band are anarchic in a more transgressive way, and at times their music anticipates the dangerous speakeasy feeling of early Duke Ellington. It's a welcome dash of colour in a musical world which is trending back to its default conservatism. Let's hear our second from them then. This is Jazz Deluxe.
Thank you.
So that was Earl Fuller's band with Jazz Deluxe. You're listening to Centuries of Sound on Cambridge 105 Radio. There is, of course, a massive shadow lurking over proceedings in 1918, the reason we have so little from Europe at this time. It is, of course, the last year of the First World War. Now, one of the most jarring contrasts between the imagined past and the time I kind of uncover by listening to this music is the feel of these First World War years. Now, there's two very good reasons for this. Firstly, it shouldn't be forgotten that our impressions of these wartime years, having dropped out of living memory now, are based on a limited number of sources, most of which are second or third hand reinterpretations. Even the most relevant cultural artifacts, you know, written accounts of the war, contemporary films, photographs, these don't contain any record of the sounds of the time. And even the best documentaries seem to focus on the images and either create their own audio or use recorded accounts from years later. Secondly, and probably more importantly, I cannot present recordings of the war because, to put it plainly, there are none. The last thing anyone, even a war journalist, was thinking of doing was taking a recording gramophone out into the trenches. In any case, the recording industry was still located mainly within New York, with a small number of people controlling what was put out. We don't even have a decent view of the rest of the USA, let alone the rest of the world. Having made my excuses, however, for the first time I'm able to play a few songs which are explicitly war-related. The entrance of the USA into the war in 1917 may not have resulted in any actual recordings of the war, but at least it meant many more recordings about the war. And even if these were filtered through the cynical filter of the entertainment business, they still provide much more of a flavour of the times than anything we've had so far. Naturally, we have some more of the patriotic anthems intended to act as much as propaganda as entertainment. Here, for an example, is a wartime update of Alexander's Ragtime Band from Marion Harris. This one's called Goodbye, Alexander.
From the way you lay them down. But you certainly kept a strut, and I don't see how you can grin. Never mind, you tell your sweet puppies they're going to walk you right to Berlin. So go on across the ocean, because these white folks know your worth. For there never was a colored traitor born upon this here earth. And they know that you'll die fighting, because you're old Aunt Dinah's son. And the world can see your fast black, and fast black will not run. You're from one race of people that will scrap and do it right. Cause that don't count the Irish, cause they don't do nothing else but fight. Now, Alexander, promise while you're across that pond, at night, don't care how hot you get, you keep your nightie on. Lord, there goes that beauty. God, you hear that band? Honey, they're playing Dixie. Let him, Alexander. Goodbye, honey boy. Dressed up in that uniform you filled but you left that window open and they got you in the trap. Alexander, I'll save my loving for you. I'll be waiting like poor butterfly. So get busy with that gun and don't come back here till you've won.
That was Marion Harris with Goodbye Alexander. Arthur Fields is another artist from this time. He's new to me, but he'd been working in the entertainment business for decades at this point, touring in minstrel shows, writing songs, and working in a trio with some other then famous singers, Jack and Irving Kaufman. His wartime songs, though still patriotic, look at the mundanity and inconvenience of wartime life through the eyes of the average soldier, who the Americans would call a doughboy rather than a Tommy. This was a smart move, as they would be arriving back from Europe just about now. Arthur Fields would continue to record right into the next World War. This one's called Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning, and I don't know if I've been listening to this stuff too much, but I do find it at least slightly funny.
The other day I chanced to meet a soldier friend of mine. He'd been in camp for several weeks and he was looking fine. His muscles had developed and his cheeks were rosy red. I asked him how he liked the life and this is what he said. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You've got to get up, you've got to get up, you've got to get up this morning. Someday I'm going to murder the bugler. Someday they're going to find him dead. I'll amputate his reveille and step upon it heavily and spend the rest of my life in bed. A bugler in the army is the luckiest of men. He wakes the boys at five and then goes back to bed again. He doesn't have to blow again until the afternoon. If everything goes well with me, I'll be a bugler soon. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You've got to get up, you've got to get up, you've got to get up this morning. Someday I'm going to murder the bugler. Someday they're going to find him dead. I'll amputate his reveille and step upon it heavily and spend the rest of my life in bed. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You've got to get up, you've got to get up, you've got to get up this morning. Oh boy, the minute the battle is over. Oh boy, the minute the foe is dead. I'll put my uniform away and move to Philadelphia and spend the rest of my life in bed.
That was Arthur Fields with Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning. Let's round up our First World War section with Goodbye, a music hall hit of the year, which I probably associate so strongly with the war because it was the title of the last episode of Blackadder Goes Forth, here performed by Courtland and Jeffries.
Brother Bertie went away to do his bit the other day. With a smile on his lips and his lieutenant pips upon his shoulder, bright and gay. As the train moved out, he sang, remember me to all the birds. Then he wagged his paw and went away to war, shouting out these pathetic words. Goodbye, goodbye, oh I'm such a baby dear from your eye. Though it's hard to part, I know, I'll be deep in the depths to go. Don't cry, don't sigh. There's a silver lining in the sky. Oh, all thing, cheerio, chin, chin, da, boo, to glue, goodbye. At concert down at Kew. Some convalescents dressed in blue. Had to hear Lady Lee, who had turned 83, sing all the old, old songs she knew. Then she made a speech and said, I look upon you boys with pride, and for what you've done, I'm going to kiss each one. Then they all grabbed their sticks and cried,
goodbye, goodbye, where's the tear, baby dear, from your eye? Though it's hard to part, I know, I'll feel, because the death to go, don't cry, don't cry. There's a silver lining in the sky. Once more, old sing, cheerio, chin, chin, la, boo, toodaloo, goodbye.
Little Private Patrick saw, he was the prisoner of war. Till the Hun with the gun called him pig dog for fun, then Paddy punched him on the jaw. Right across the barbed wire fence, the German dropped, then dear, oh dear. All the wire gave away and Paddy yelled, hooray, as he ran for the Dutch frontier.
Goodbye, goodbye, wipe a dear baby dear from your eye. Though it's hard to part, I know, I'll be single and death to go. Don't cry, don't cry. There's a silver lining in the sky. One more whole thing, cheerio, chin, chin, na-poo, toodaloo, goodbye.
Had free revolutionary France listened to men like Turgot and backed them up, all would have gone well. But the beneficiaries of privilege, the Bourbon reactionaries, the short-sighted ultra-conservatives, turned down Turgot and then found that instead of him they had obtained Robespierre. They gained 20 years' freedom from all restraint and reform at the cost of the whirlwind of the Red Terror, and in their turn the unbridled extremists of the Terror induced a blind reaction. And so, with convulsion and oscillation from one extreme to another, with alternations of violent radicalism and violent Bourbonism, the French people went through misery toward a shattered goal. There is no danger of a revolution in this country, but there is grave discontent and unrest, and in order to remove them, there is need of all the wisdom and probity and deep-seated faith in and purpose to uplift humanity we have at our command.
That was Courtland and Jeffries with Goodbye, followed by an excerpt from a speech by Theodore Roosevelt. Let's have a little tour around some other kinds of music recorded in 1918. Though most of it was recorded in New York, the artists came from around the world. Well, this one didn't. This is Maud Powell. She's an American violinist who gained international acclaim for her skill and virtuosity. In 1918, she's 50 years old, and this is one of the last recordings she made. It's called Poupée Valsante, which means waltzing doll.
Thank you.
That was Maud Powell with Poupée Valsante, Waltzing Doll. Let's keep in the world of delicate classical music with a music box style backing. This is Amelita Galicuzzi with Crepuscule. That was Italian soprano Amelita Galicuzzi with Crepuscule. You're listening to Centuries of Sound on Cambridge 105 Radio. Now, Marika Papagika was a Greek singer. She was born on the island of Kos in 1890, and she emigrated to America in 1915 and began recording in 1918. First, Greek traditional music, but later also Rembetiko, the often political urban popular song of poor Greeks. Here she is with Symaiko Minore.
Thank you.
That was Marika Papagika with Simeko Minore. You're listening to Centuries of Sound on Cambridge 105 Radio, where I'm playing some recordings from the year 1918. Last time we heard some of my favourite records from Armenian singer Zabel Panosian. Here's one more from her final recording session in 1918. It's called Groom, which means crane.
Thank you.
That was Zabel Panosian with Grung, which means crane. Let's get back to the jazz explosion taking place in the USA. This is the Frisco Jazz Band. They're a cash-in act formed around virtuoso clarinet player Rudy Vierdoft. The Frisco name was probably meant to imply that they were from California, although actually these are just some jobbing New York musicians. Anyway, this is a surprisingly good track from them. It's called Johnson Jazz Blues. That was the Frisco Jazz Band with Johnson Jazz Blues. Next, we have something from the Louisiana Five, a splinter group from the original Dixieland Jazz Band, and this is called Laughing Blues, quite a saucy sounding piece which gets better and better as it goes on. That was the Louisiana Five with Laughing Blues. Wilbur Sweatman was more of a ragtime and blues pioneer than a jazz pioneer, but at this stage everyone was getting swept up in this craze. As one of the only African-American jazz musicians actually being recorded in 1918, he's doubly important, even if this song didn't have as much swing as it undoubtedly does. This is Wilbur Sweatman's original jazz band with Everybody's Crazy About the Doggone Blues, But I'm Happy. That was Wilbur Sweatman's original jazz band with Everybody's Crazy About the Doggone Blues, But I'm Happy. Here's a future jazz standard performed here by Joseph C. Smith's orchestra. This is Rose Room. Thank you. That was Joseph C. Smith's orchestra with Rose Room from 1918. You've been listening to Centuries of Sound on Cambridge 105 Radio. If you want to hear my mixes for every year from 1860 to 1927 so far, come along to my website, which is centuriesofsound.com, or search for Centuries of Sound on any good podcast app, or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. Let's finish with one last recording from the original Dixieland Jazz Band. This is Skeleton Jangle. Have a great night. Centuries of Sound is funded entirely by my backers on Patreon. Join them for $5 per month or local equivalent at patreon.com/centuriesofsound and get a host of bonus content.